Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true. Watch out. I'm in a mood this week.
Why are you in a mood this week?
It's a mixture of like a lot of different things going on and the biochemistry that is a little bit unbalanced in my membrane.
Oh, I thought you were having your menstrual cramps.
My menstrual cramps. Sometimes I get cramps real bad. No, I was listening to this podcast today. It was Radio Lab, not today, a couple days ago. It was Radio Lab, and they were interviewing this guy that was in a Somalian political prison for like 8 years, and he was in solitary confinement. And at the time, I don't know, they probably don't still do this in Somalia, because I don't know if they still have prisons in Somalia, because Somalia is one of those things we call a failed state, which,
yeah,
I don't know. That just sounds bad. It's like Russia wanted to win 35 gold medals in the Olympics and they only won 30. Oh, they're a failed state. No. Okay. Mississippi has, 30% illiteracy rates. That's a failed state. No, that's not what we mean either. Well, what do you mean? Well, in Somalia, they don't have any law or order or systems, You might complain if they forget to bring your paper one Tuesday morning, right? In Somalia, there is nobody to bring your paper because there is no paper, all right? Nobody's going to plow the roads when it snows in Somalia. Does it snow in Somalia? I don't know. Just go with it.
If only they had oil, then they could have all the democracy they could handle.
Well, they got plenty of Islam, so... Anyway, so this guy was in a Somali political prison. This is back during the heyday of Somalia when they were being ruled by a brutal communist dictator.
But if it's a failed state, okay, if we decide it's a failed state.
All right.
And there's a guy in prison in a failed state. If the door is accidentally open, is anybody going to miss him if he just, like, walks out? Because nobody's running the thing, apparently, so...
Well, that was my point. He was a prisoner back before it was a failed state.
Oh, okay. So like one day he's gonna wake up and the cage is open.
Yeah, kind of like the apocalypse happens, The apocalypse. We always talk about the zombie apocalypse like it's this one singular event that's gonna happen.
Yes.
And then it was the zombie apocalypse. So this guy said that his primary fear while he was sitting there in solitary confinement was that he was going to go insane and do something like kill himself or something without, even though he didn't want to, right? He would just accidentally do it because he went crazy. And the thing that brought him back was, you remember in The Great Escape? Was it The Great Escape? It was one of these movies where they were pecking on the wall to talk to each other. It probably wasn't The Great Escape. Probably one of the Vietnam prisoner movies, but they were like tapping on the walls to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Hogan's Heroes. Anyway, so this guy in the cell next to him was doing that and basically read Anna Karenina to the guy, Tolstoy's famous novel. And that like saved him because he realized, well, you know what? Anna Karenina is going through a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I'm going through a bunch of shit, so.
Could you imagine, though, you're in a fail, you're in solitary confinement, and one day, you're not hearing any noise out there anymore.
They don't bring your gruel for lunch.
You nudge the door, and it kind of opens a little bit. You're like, hello, hello. Hello, it's like, do you run like hell or do you just close the door again and wait for the next, for the next government to take over?
The next government. That reminds me of that scene in in a restaurant at the end of the universe, I think it was, where there was a commercial flight that failed to take off before the civilization failed on this one planet. Yes. And so they put everybody in like stasis and said, you know, we need our moist towel. We need our to load the moist towelettes before we can take off. And they're like, well, the freaking civilization is dead and gone. There's not any moist towelettes. And there aren't going to be any. And they're like, well, statistically speaking, another intelligent life will develop. And eventually they will develop the technology to make moist towelettes. And they'll load them onto the plane and we'll take off. It's like if you're in a solitary confinement in a failed state, yeah, do you just go, well, I'll just sit here until the next government comes along. Somebody's going to. Can't be a failed state forever.
Maybe it'll be a better one. And be like, oh, you're cool. You can go.
So I started thinking maybe I should be a little bit worried about that. Like if, when I get myself into these weird chemical states and in weird moods, like not that I feel like I'm going to lose my mind and kill myself, but like, will I overreact to a situation? Or maybe I'll stop underreacting to situations. Because I usually don't overreact unless we're talking about my kids.
Yeah.
I often overreact. And they deserve
That's
it.
That's just called parenting.
But right. But normally I underreact because I always assume other people have the best of intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And if only they could understand the entire situation, they would they would do the right thing, right? Or maybe I don't know what the right thing is, and I'm the one who's mistaken.
Change the channel, Marge!
So we're in this, like, landlocked subdivision with only one way in, one way out.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, his driveway goes all the way through his yard, in through his backyard, and out the back of his property because there's another way, like, it goes into another neighborhood, right? But he's got a gate that he keeps locked, right? So we can't get through that way. Like if we want to go for a bike ride or something, we can't go out that way. And really it would be the only safe way to go for the kids to go for a bike ride because the one way in, one way out is on a busy street.
Right.
No sidewalks. So guy has a gate that he keeps locked. Turns out that the neighborhood has taken this guy to court, but it was like in 1987 when I was graduating from high school.
Right.
And forced the guy to give the neighborhood keys to the gate so that the neighborhood could use it in the event of an emergency. An emergency being somehow the one way in and out is blocked, right? By snow or fire.
Right.
Zombies. I don't know, you know? So the guy was forced to do that. Well, now he refuses to let anybody use that gate for any reason other than the apocalypse, right? So I thought, well, maybe he just doesn't understand. So I sent him an email. Very nice email. I said, I've heard you have concerns, and I guess I would too if I were you, and I completely get, you know, it's your property and security is a concern, blah, whatever. You have concerns. What if we came up with a creative way to address your concerns? And then, you know, our kids, there are more and more kids in the neighborhood and trying to go out on Sergeant. That's real busy. And, you know, it's kind of dangerous for the kids. If they get to that neighborhood behind your house there while taking care of your concerns so that, you know, can we at least talk about it? You know, I'm not asking you to do anything. Can we just talk about it? So his answer was pretty much like, well, if I let one family through, I got to let them all through. And I got to let the people in the other neighborhood through. And then I got people wandering around my property in all hours of the night. And I was like, and he goes, with liability and security, it's a non-starter. I love when people use phrases like that. It's a non-starter. It's like the no-brainer non-starter, right? So I replied back with, okay, I get it. I said, well, but let me just make sure that I understand what you're saying. Even if we could address your concerns, which sounds like your concerns are liability and security. And even if we could address your concerns, you're not willing to even talk about it. I said, because I was imagining, you know, the neighborhood could pay for a gate you know, codes that only the families have, and they would be specific to a family, so we'd know who's coming and going when. You could put a time lock on it so that after a certain time that you set, people can't use it, so you wouldn't have people on your property at night, blah, 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 right? So I come up with like three or four ways that like negate any concerns he might have.
Right.
And then, and this is like my coup de grace. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like that's probably what it is. And it says, I basically am thinking, this is the part where he's going to go, well, you know what? I didn't realize you guys were willing, and maybe that sounds creative. And hey, we could talk. I can't guarantee anything, but we can at least talk. No, he sends a thing back that's like, I do not like the idea of 30 families having access to my property at all hours of the night, and I'm sure you wouldn't like that either. I think we're done here, was his response. So I told Constance the half a dozen or so replies to that I thought of. And it was actually before I was in this mood that I'm currently in. And I never actually sent them. But I came up with all sorts of like... like I think we're done here. Well, dickhead, we certainly are. At least I'm done with you.
Yeah, and it's that whole thing where like you want to be the bigger person and just walk away, but because of the way he ended it with the I think we're done here, you're like you know, yeah. and at some point you'll email him back with one of your replies.
It'll start with no. No, we ain't done. We're pretty fucking far from done. You lost all your done privileges.
That would be hilarious. You'd probably get like a I didn't really look at it that way. Because he'll probably think, you know, because obviously he's obviously old and white, and you send him this message, and he'd be like, he would be scared. And we'll probably do what you wanted to do.
Yeah. I'm like, nah, we ain't done. We ain't done. We're pretty fucking far from done. No, it's like part of me wants to be like, first of all, you don't know me, right? And as far as having strangers or people who you're calling strangers, I call them neighbors. And as far as having neighbors, see, I thought old white dudes were all about the 50s, right? Whatever happened to old white dudes being about the 50s where you could leave your door unlocked and let, you know, have the neighborhood kids come over and play in your yard, right? What kind of old white dude are we talking about here?
Well, it's because he's probably afraid that he's also afraid the neighborhood's integrated. He doesn't want anything to do with that. You know, back in the 50s, the neighborhood wasn't integrated, but now that it is, you know.
If I let a white family on my property, I got to let the blacks and the Mexicans, too. That's probably what he's thinking.
That's exactly what he's thinking.
He's like, we're all white now, but, you know, later on, we might have a black family. Well... And he threw in the neighborhood behind us.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
So my neighborhood happens to be, as far as I know, I haven't met any black people. I haven't seen any walking around, you know, that weren't like, you know, taking care of the lawn. Of course, right? Anyway, ones that live here.
Insert record scratch here.
Yeah, but the neighborhood behind, like where I'd like for my kids to be able to wander around and hang out, is integrated. So that's his real beef, right? His real beef is he doesn't want that side of the neighborhood having access to his property.
This goes to my whole point about how if you think you know the answer, it's the answer. So, which we've talked about a lot. You know, if there's any doubt, there's no doubt.
So here's how we... Here's how we get this guy. I've already come up with the plan to get this guy, right? And it's not about getting this guy. Let me just go on record and on tape here for when we're playing this in the courtroom after this guy sues me. It's not about getting this guy. It's about providing my kids access to a safe neighborhood where they can ride their bikes. However, one of the side effects to this could be as follows. So there's a house, there's property right next to his with that butts up against that neighborhood, right? So if we talk to those folks and they're agreeable to it, we could put a little bike path and a little bike path gate that goes to that neighborhood. Well, it's right next to this guy's property. And there's no fence between their property, right? So if we, we'd basically, be, it'd be like, well, you had the chance to control it, right? Now you don't have, you have no control unless you want to put up a fence, you know, between your house and here. Feel free.
You should absolutely do that.
We figured out a way around it.
You should absolutely do that. Why do I just get the impression of like Mr. Wilson.
So that's our next. I mean, that's going to be our next step.
I get the impression of like Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace. Mr. Wilson. Now, Dennis, stay out of my lawn, Dennis. Don't take my bike path, Dennis.
So that all just like falls in the category of what's wrong with people. So we've had another hurricane. I don't know if you heard. Which again, we talked about this last time, I think, and it was they don't schedule these things right. So they have the eclipse, like bravo for having it be during the week, during the school day. So I didn't have to figure out how to make it a thing for my kids. The school was able to, you know, bravo for that. But I don't know why they didn't have a full one here.
What? Did your kids bring home permission slips to watch the eclipse?
No.
We did. I'm like, really? To be on the playground during this eclipse. I had to sign saying it was okay for my child to be on the playground.
They shouldn't call that a permission slip. They should call it a cover our asses slip.
Essentially, yes.
In case one of the kids like stares at the sun for 3.5 minutes and
exactly when my kids ask me why I have to sign that is exactly what I tell them it is. It's a cover their ass slip.
Do we have this problem in the rest of the world? I mean, is it just like American society where everybody's ready to sue everybody else? And we got to do all this stupid shit to keep like this gate situation. I have a feeling if it weren't for lawsuits and shit like that, this guy would probably have no problemo. Feel free. But he's got in his head like somebody's going to sue somebody and whatever, I think.
I'm pretty sure he's just racist.
But I ain't black.
I'm just saying.
He probably knows I ain't black.
No, because, you know, like you said, you let the whites in, then you got to let the browns in, and, that's all it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it to come to that, see? He doesn't want to be found out as being a racist.
That's usually not that hard to do. I'll just wait for the the Trump flag in his front yard.
What a time.
So speaking of things you're not allowed to say, I found out it's not... So here's a weird thing. We always talk about national dialogues and like, let's have a national dialogue about stuff and let's all have open conversations and everybody keep an open mind and let's just the facts and let's understand and educate each other and be educated and listen. Let's listen to each other and understand, right? So it's not at all for that particular purpose. I posted a gadfly question on Facebook. Gadfly, the right word? Is that the word I'm looking for? You know, question
Wasn't that the F. Scott Fitzgerald book, The Great Gadfly?
Yeah, The Great Gadfly. It was a comic. I think the Barfly was based on the Gadfly. Anyway, I think it's provocateur might be the more precise word. But I was thinking, I saw this headline and it, you know, for a week, the news, which I in a moment of weakness, I decided to watch a lot of the news regarding the hurricane, which, again, scheduled at the worst possible time.
It's just because you're human, that's all, because I did it too. You know, and it's yeah. not, you weren't like looking for bodies floating in the water. You were just concerned, that's all. You're just human.
Right. Yeah, no, I wasn't. Right. That's right. No, I wasn't looking. I wasn't no, looking not for at bodies.
All. People, no. What sicko would do that?
Yeah, I mean, who? Well, how could you even ask that question? How dare you? It hurts me that you would even say that. So that's what I'm getting at. So they were like screaming, like, get the hell out. Remember, we were joking about Hurricane,
yeah,
the last one, Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey. Yeah, Harvey.
How the governor's going, you know, get out or die, right?
Yeah.
So they were doing that on this one, and they were like, get out or die, and we're not kidding. You know?
We mean business.
In the Florida Keys, they actually evacuated, like, the fire department and the ambulances and the hospital. They're mm-hmm. like, all right, all the first responders, you can get out, right, if you want to. And then you go, oh, they're serious, maybe, right?
Yeah.
But I don't fault people for, like, wanting to stay, okay?
Right.
It's your home, and you figure, well, if I'm not going to be able to get back for weeks after I leave, I'd rather just stay here and take my chances, right? Which
right.
I admire it, all right? Again, we want to make sure you understand the risks, though. It's not that the wind is blowing. It's what the wind is blowing, right? But here's the part that kind of bugs me. There was one thing on the news. They showed a video of this boat being rescued by the Coast Guard because it was a sailboat, and they figured they'd ride out the storm in their sailboat. And the Coast Guard had to go out and save them, right? And I thought, you know what? You just put however many Coast Guard guys had to save you in harm's way, right? I know these are testosterone-fueled, like, former high school football guys who, you know,
right,
weren't able to play
swim
pro.
Swim team guys.
Right, right, swim team guy. But, and so they love this kind of thing. They're like, ooh, somebody to save. All right. But you're putting them in danger, and you're costing tons of money because that's not cheap, right? And right. you made right. that decision, which I'm fine with if that's something you want to try to do, right? But if you incur all these costs, maybe you should have to pay them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that unreasonable?
No, I agree.
So then I saw.
I would even go so far as to say even like a copay on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Something. Right. And then I saw this another headline, which turned out to be false. It was a rumor that somehow. I know with all the checks and balances we have in place, I'm surprised something got through that wasn't quite true. But it said 10,000 people may need to be evacuated from the Florida Keys after the hurricane went through. And I thought, wait a minute. Weren't they told they should evacuate before the hurricane? And now isn't it going to cost a whole lot right. more to get them out of there? Now that all the infrastructure is destroyed and everything, maybe they should have to pay for that. So I thought, you know, I was a couple of whiskeys in to my evening. And
there was never any doubt. I read your post. There was never any doubt.
I thought, well, let me throw this up there and see what happens. And boy, I suffered a little bit of backlash just for asking the question.
Yeah, well, you kind of knew that going into it.
I probably did.
But like any good drunk, you're like, you feel bulletproof at that point in time.
I'm nothing if not a good drunk. I know how to do it.
That's right. Been doing this for years. I got this shit.
But there was really, out of all of the indignance and I don't know, affected outrage, I'll call it, there was really only one that made any sense to me. And it was somebody whose father stayed behind. And she said in the weeks leading up to it, that all of the forecasts said it was going to hit Miami, right? And the Keys were going to get, it wasn't going to be catastrophic, right? And it was kind of like a last minute thing where it kind of shifted, right? So people have made their decision, right? Now we're hearing about fuel shortages and traffic jams and everything in Florida. So, and they're saying it's going to be weeks before you can get back to your home if you evacuate now, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of weighing that decision and you go, I don't know. The communication I'm getting kind of says maybe it's a better idea to stay behind, right? And so in that situation, I'd say, well, we've set up this whole apparatus that's supposed to warn people and give them accurate information so they can make a decision. And when that sort of fails, then that same apparatus kind of has to bear some of the responsibility, right? So I'm okay with that.
Sure.
But the ones who are like, well, I'm in a wheelchair and there's no way I could evacuate, I'm like, all right. And then the other one was like, I have dear friends who are down there and I talk to them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you have friends in the Keys? No, they're in Miami. I'm like, did you? I'm thinking, I didn't say. I was like, did you read what I wrote? Are you just?
No.
You just kind of like, yeah, no. The answer is no. I did not read what you wrote.
Right.
But
that's why I think the copay is a good idea. The one that got me, and I know you were trying to have like a legitimate conversation, but
after I sobered up,
after you sobered up and back, you know, and figured out how to salvage it, you know, we call that retconning in comic books. after you retcon the post, your brother-in-law put that comment about. He always wanted to, if he lives somewhere like that, he always wanted a mountain bike so he could, like, go exploring or whatever. And I'm like, I just wanted to write, I like Santa. But then I'm like, no, Steve wants to have a legitimate conversation here. So I'll just let it go.
No, I think you misread what I was doing.
Oh well,
I was retconning or whatever you just call it, which I would have been perfectly fine with a nonsensical joking thread as well. Okay. Well, like at some point, I just do what I've always done. I just turn to humor. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Always use humor to get. Yeah.
There's nothing I can't get myself out of without joking my way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've told myself over and over.
I mean, it's funny to you, you know.
Oh, man. All right. Well, before I get myself in trouble again, maybe we should take a break and reset and do some headlines.
Well, sounds like a plan.
All right. We'll be right back.
Woo! Quite a drink.
Nobody get my trouble too. works on the level, mama both night and day. I works on the level, mama both night and day. I ain't got nobody to keep the water away.
I did end up getting unfriended by one person.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
Well, yes. Except for within like an hour, she re-friended me.
So, oh.
And apologized.
So she overreacted like, then. It's not you, it's her. It was your wife.
Yes. Yes, it was the first apology I've gotten out of her in decades.
Well, that's because it was the first time she was wrong.
True. I'm looking for my brother-in-law's post. I've always thought that I'd have a dirt bike if I lived in an area prone to natural disasters. That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
I like Batman. Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. We'll try to do better this next half hour.
Give us a chance.
Yeah.
We're just getting warmed up.
Right. It's been a bit. We had non-hurricane related technical difficulties last week, and so we didn't get a show out, but we're back and we're workmanlike. So,
yeah. And in a way, I think the break was kind of necessary, because that last show was just, I think last week the show would have sucked by comparison. So at least
yeah.
This way we got a little bit of time, because the last episode was too much.
And we have decided never to have two great episodes in a row. I mean, that was one of our founding principles.
That's right.
But, side note, for those of you in free America, only you will understand this. Vice Principal Bass. Okay, now back to the show.
I guess he's I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he was actually a pretty decent, he did wood carvings and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I found that out years and years later. But yeah.
You know,
now that I've humanized him, so now we kind of feel bad about.
Well, you go ahead and feel free to feel bad about anybody, because I read this brilliant thing today. I was reading about The Last Man on Earth, the Will Forte vehicle. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, it's exactly what it sounds like. So he's a very flawed individual before the plague wipes everybody out. Right?
Very flawed.
Yeah. Like, lives in a studio apartment that his parents pay for, which is not that is not what makes him flawed. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is he's very socially awkward. He just doesn't really.
Yeah.
Not a great person, right?
He's great in the movie Keanu, if you get a chance to see that.
Who is Phil Tandy Wilson?
Sure. Is that the actor's name from The Last Man on Earth?
No, that's the character's name.
Well, the actor, what did you say his name was? Forte?
Will Forte.
Yeah. He's in the movie Keanu with Key and Peele, and he's hysterical in that thing.
Is that about Keanu Reeves?
Sort of. Okay. The cat's name is Keanu.
Okay.
I mean, it's a dumb comedy, but I highly recommend it. But
well, all right.
Anyway, then. Continue.
So he's continue. The last, like, there's a plague, it wipes everybody out, and so this guy is, like, trying to figure out life. And the one reviewer said, and it was kind of brilliant, he said, here's a guy who couldn't, like, adapt to the regular world. So in order for him to become the person he was meant to be, or a person that he feels comfortable being, the regular world had to go away.
Yes.
I thought, that's interesting. And for the life of me, I can't think of what triggered that thought. So my point being, what if that's true about everybody, including the assholes? So maybe this is me underreacting again, but what if everybody's that way? Like, we're all just born assholes, all of us. Every single one of us is born. I mean, have you ever tried to reason with a four-year-old? Complete dick, right? I mean,
yes, they are.
Four-year-olds, yeah. It's like, why don't you share that with your brother? No. Well, but you don't need all of those, and you're not even playing with them right now. So they don't even say so. Like, they don't even try to.
Yeah.
Like, so would be some kind of argument, right? They're like, that'd be some kind of logical, weird, like, so, like saying you need to make a better argument. No, there is no argument. We're not arguing. I'm not sharing because I'm a 4-year old, which makes me an asshole, right?
That's right.
Only through conditioning do we, or some of us, find a way to not act like an asshole, at least most of the time, right? So what if that's everybody's problem, right? What if, given the chance?
I think maybe that's what plays to the strength of that show, is that he's us. I think that's what makes that show work.
That's depressing. It's like Mr. Bass. I mean, look, it was way worse for us than it was for him. I'm not trying to say his situation was as bad as ours, because we were the inmates at the horrible prison, right?
Yeah.
But if you're like, do you think people who are like, I want to be a vice principal when I grow up, you know, first of all, nobody wants to be a vice principal.
That.
Right.
Nobody says that.
Nobody says, I want to be the assistant to the principal. I don't want to be at a junior high. Right.
I don't want all the responsibility of the principal.
And I don't want to work at a high school. You know,
I mean, I'm no dummy.
I'm no dummy. So my aspiration is to be a vice principal at a junior high. It's like a professor at a junior college, right? It's like,
right.
I'm the assistant department chair at the junior college.
I would think the ultimate aspiration, and that would be the principal at an elementary school, because your word is law at that point.
That is true.
I mean, that's got to be like the biggest, like, you know, like my, like the principal at my daughter's elementary school, he's taller than I am, so you know he just walks down the hallway holding his hands out, like,
yeah,
you know, I you know, like, I run this place, I have the conch. You know, it's like, there's nothing you can do about it.
I still, Mr. Fireball in my life is still in my head the ideal benevolent dictator. I mean,
yeah, he pretty much was,
yeah, and he did it correctly. Everyone respected mm-hmm. him, right? Everyone feared him, but respected him and liked him at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so nobody aspires to be the vice principal at a junior high. The man had, as I've learned, a drinking problem. Well, not so much a problem as I would say. It probably wasn't really a problem. It's just he drank a lot, like all the time, mm-hmm. including during the day, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that. I don't know if it to be true. It's a legend, right? We don't know how many listeners we have, so we got to be careful there.
My junior high math teacher, I had first hour, and she would come in reeking of bourbon, dude.
Nice.
So, well, yeah.
How else do you get through the day with that job?
Junior high. I guess it's the worst.
Right?
I don't even like having to, like, if my son forgets something, I don't even like going into the middle school. So, why would you want to work there?
It's right? Like,
can I just throw it?
All right. Well, we promised headlines. Let's do some headlines. Here we go. Speaking of hurricanes, the quote, hand-in-hand telethon raises more than $44 million for hurricane survivors.
Hand-in-hand.
Hand-in-hand what? Telethon. I think I vaguely heard about, and I might have seen Matthew McConaughey on the TV.
What was he like? All right.
Get us some money down to them. The funny thing is about these hurricanes, I keep getting older, but they just keep staying the same age.
They don't go above Category 5. That was weirdly creepy.
These telethons always kind of creep me out because I think it's... Okay, they do serve a purpose. Okay, this is one of the things that if I posted it, I would probably get crucified.
Sure.
I think they serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the purpose is nobody freaking knows what to do, but they want to do something.
Right.
So they watch the telethon. They send a couple of shekels in mm-hmm. to the telethon. Then it goes, $44 million. That's awesome. You know, we did something.
Mm-hmm.
We can put that with the truckload of thoughts and prayers, you know, and send it all down there together.
Well, they even discourage that, you know, I've given, like, just this past 2 weeks, I've given, like, more money and water to this damn thing than I've done anything, you know. Huh. And I read this article about how, and I think, you know, giving money, I think, is really the best way to go about it because, you know, first of all, money fixes everything. We must always remember that. But I read this article about how they... sending stuff down there just creates a problem within a problem because what the hell do you do with all this stuff and who monitors it and who categorizes it? It's like, because now they're shorthanded enough as it is. So yeah, just throw some money in there, you know.
Right, right. Sending stuff is, you're right. There's plenty of stuff. It's just a matter of getting it to the people.
There's like probably like thousands of tons of, you know, pumpkin pie mix cases down there.
Just sitting and clogging up the highways, right?
Say, well, I'm not going to use it.
The thing I like is people sent diapers, baby diapers, adult diapers. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to send stuff, send diapers because there's no distribution required. All I got to do is open up them boxes, dump all them diapers out, and it just sucks up all the water.
That's right.
And now you just come in with a bulldozer, you scoop up those damn diapers, and literally dump them in the ocean.
Damn diapers.
and look at this. You take care of global warming at the same time. Hey, you know, sea levels are rising. Just every single diaper. You know, the landfills are full of diapers.
Because them things can hold a lot. I mean, you can like...
Yeah.
You know...
Especially those like overnight ones.
Mm-hmm.
I say instead of, all right, here, everyone within the sound of my voice, if you have kids, in diapers, SFJ, do not send your diapers to the landfill. Box them up. Send them down. Not the pee-pee ones. The pee-pee ones, they've already absorbed all they can. Only the poopy ones. Box them up.
There's
send them down to Florida. Put them in the truck with the thoughts and prayers. That's probably, you know.
There's no room. There's no room in those trucks.
Those trucks are full of thoughts and prayers.
That's right.
And I saw a train full of good vibes going that direction as well. No, seriously though, here you could stop a hurricane with a big enough diaper, because it's all about the moisture and the warm moisture that the hurricane is absorbing, and it's using that as energy, and it feeds on that to become more and more powerful. If you had, and you know good and well, the corporations and the CEOs have enough diaper material that they could stop a damn hurricane. They just don't want to. Who do you think makes out like a bandit in all this?
Big Diaper.
Who? Big Diaper. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, look at Walmart. Walmart makes $7 quadrillion a year on diapers alone. Just on diapers, right? Where does a lot of that money come from? It's these telethons. It's $44 million. Might as well just send the check straight to Walmart, because that's where it's going. They're sending the money down there. People are going to buy Walmart's money, buy Walmart's diapers, buy all Walmart's shit. Write a check to Walmart. They should just call it the Walmart sponsored by Walmart. And by sponsored, we mean all this money's coming to us.
It's just a big-ass Walmart gift card.
Exactly. It's like one of those, when they do those giant checks, when you donate money to something, and they do it. Instead of that, they just do a giant Walmart gift card.
So you got the guy like, he's like, boop. Boop. He's like, got this. There's like impatient people behind him, and he's embarrassed because it ain't working right, you know.
And then he's like, "There's."
Of course, it takes 3 days to bag up that many diapers off that little triangle go round that they have. You know,
the carousel. He's like, you got $152,347.48 left on the card. What can I buy with that? Just give me the cash back. I can't give you the cash back. What am I going to buy with $137,849.48? I said $138,349.75, sir. Well, whatever it is. I don't care. Just give me the money. We can't do that, sir. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I would if I could, but I can't. How come everybody that works at Walmart has a southern accent?
Even way up here.
I know. Right?
They
except
just
for
do.
My niece.
Well, yes. She's the exception.
I don't know, man. I just feel like if it weren't for greed, we would have stopped hurricanes by now. All right. Next one is Tesla to unveil electric semi-truck that Elon Musk calls a beast. I think I saw that movie. What was the one where the truck drove off of the cliff?
Duel.
And Duel. Yeah. And it blew up, and like when it blew up, there was like a satanic head.
Yeah.
In the mushroom cloud or whatever.
And it made the dinosaur roar as it was exploding, which they then... In Jaws, when the shark is sinking to the bottom of the ocean, he actually takes it from Duel and puts it in as the shark is sinking to the bottom of the ocean.
Is that the Wilhelm roar?
It's the Wilhelm roar before the Wilhelm scream. Yes.
So now every single movie where an evil thing dies, we're going to have the Wilhelm roar.
That's right.
So anyway, Elon Musk, by the way, is the CEO. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's the CEO. He's probably not the CEO. He's the founder, owner, I don't know, visionary behind Tesla. Mm-hmm. He's also the guy who somewhat famously signed on to see Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, and a few other well-known like techie guys, right, mm-hmm. have said that they are actually afraid that artificial intelligence, they're like actually concerned that it's going to take over the world.
As well they should be, because right? it will.
That's what they're saying. But the crazy thing is, Elon Musk is one of the guys behind this sort of AI may take over the world. We better be careful, right? And he runs Tesla, which is making a truck that he is calling a beast. So which is it, Elon? What kind of name is that anyway, Elon? Is it like you're...
Somebody once called him, he has his name, Elon Musk, is the name of a James Bond villain.
Elon Musk. I thought it was, I used to wear that cologne actually when I was in high school.
Elon by Musk.
Elon Musk. Smells like trillionaire geek.
That's right. You'll never get laid wearing Elon Musk.
Well, I guess my point is he an evil genius? And he's like, hey, artificial intelligence is going to take over the world, and I'm the one that's going to build the artificial intelligence. What makes him think he can control it in the end? Isn't that like Frankenstein's monster? Like, is it that a Frankenstein's monster situation?
Oh, he's the one yelling, you know, he's the only one that can control it, but then he'll die in some kind of explosion and then we'll be fucked. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. We you and I had talked, it seemed like maybe 6-8 weeks ago, about the only way that electrical cars are going to catch on is if we have ways of transporting goods electronically, you know, like with electronic engines. That's the only, then after that, the cars will follow suit. So, you know.
Yeah, right.
You're a pioneer, that's all I'm saying.
I'm a pie of something.
Yes.
The other headline is also tech-related. Two ex-Googlers want to kill your bodega.
Are you reading Beck lyrics?
That was a good one. That could be, that could have been who tweeted it. So, who's an ex-Googler anyway? I mean, once you've Googled, I don't think I'll ever be an ex-Googler unless somebody comes up with a better search engine.
Google.
I mean,
Google for life, man.
Right? And who cares? They want to kill my bodega. Bodega? I just met you. I don't know what that even means. I'm trying to misinterpret it, but I...
Yeah, we've been very... responsibly interpreting this week's headlines.
Well, let's be honest. The whole gimmick here is just a way to come up with something to talk about.
Sure.
So responsible, not responsible. But mm-hmm. a bodega is a convenience store like in New York City. And that's like the only place mm-hmm. they call them bodegas, which is funny.
Right. Yeah, because we have one less than a mile down the road.
Do you call it a bodega?
But I do. But nobody else does.
Everybody else calls it the village pantry.
Yes. It is the dictionary definition of a bodega. But nobody here calls it a bodega.
How's that? They sell flowers, deli meats, cigarettes.
They sell everything that like a Family Express sells except gas. You know, and it's close to the expiration date. That is a bodega. Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter speaks some vaguely Middle Eastern or maybe Eastern European accent.
Yes, exactly.
Can't really tell. Like you walk in and you go, all right, that sounds Middle Eastern, but his skin is like Eastern European color. I don't know.
And then maybe I'll listen to whatever music he's got going on back there. But, you know, he's playing like, you know, 80s pop songs. That could be anybody.
Yeah. Why would they want to kill my bodega? Maybe it's artificial intelligence. Maybe the bodegas are being taken over by the beast trucks that Elon Musk is making. Maybe we need to get Matthew McConaughey and Sean Penn to do a telethon so we can fight these self-aware bodegas.
I won't be happy unless that truck is like takes up two lanes. It's like the mammoth car, like from Speed Racer.
Yes.
That's the only way I'm going to be happy is if it's that, if it makes that rah, rah, rah noise when it's going down the road. I will only be happy when that happens.
Even when I was a kid watching that cartoon, I thought, how's that giant truck able to beat Speed Racer in his like purpose-built small race car?
Well, the thing that got me, unfortunately, I'm a nerd and I know these things, but when they were given the tour of the mammoth car, like each tire has its own engine and is capable of producing 1,000 horsepower. I'm like, are they going to the moon in that thing? You know, because this thing is like as big as a train. But what actually happened was when they did not have a script a lot of the times when they were converting it into English. So they were making this shit up as quickly as they could to get it out there. So they were just pulling shit out of their ass to put, you know, if it sounded good, they went with it. So, but yeah, if Elon Musk's beast doesn't look like the mammoth car, I'm going to be disappointed. That's how you'll know he's right? A James Bond villain. when Bruce Willis or like who's another big or Vin Diesel has to stop it, that's how you'll know,
right?
He's a bad guy.
Or Bruce Willis is the guy. I mean, first of all, he never looks any older. Second of all, he's always the guy being pulled reluctantly out of retirement. Like he was like, yes. I was doing something else, but all right, I guess I'll let you drag me into this one. It's like Die Hard 75, you know?
Right. It's like, why did Bruce Willis and Danny Glover never team up? You know, they could both be too old for this shit.
They didn't? I thought they were. Oh, that was Mel Gibson. All right, never mind.
That's Mel Gibson, yeah.
I was like, they are so perfect for each other. I kind of thought they did. That's funny when you said that. I was like, wait, didn't they? Was that? That was Bruce Willis wasn't that Bruce Willis in one of the diehards that, or maybe something with Samuel Jackson or Denzel Washington where he was like naked and like saying all these racial epithets in the ghetto. Which one was that?
That was one of the diehards, like Die Hard 12, I think. And that was Samuel Jackson, you racist.
Well, I mean, it could have been Paul Mooney, for all I know. It could have been
Paul. Why people like Bruce Willis? Because
he makes Vin Diesel look like Jackie Wright. Change the channel, Marge. So I listened to the latest installment of the new Aleph. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that made me think of it was talking about the mammoth car, right? Because, and I was driving to work when I was listening to it, and there's this one scene where Aramis gets out of some sort of a bus or some sort of transit vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the transit vehicle doesn't have wheels. It has legs. and I thought, now that's kind of cool. Like 800 years in the future, instead of wheels, it's legs, right? Right? And it's like, looks like, he describes it as like, it looks like ants walking next to each other or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me, he probably didn't intend this part of it because my brain just started, I had to pause it because my brain started to go like somewhere else.
Right.
And by this time I was being flipped off by other people in traffic because I was, I was just sitting there at a green light trying to figure out. we design. So we got the wheel, right? And everybody's right. like, oh, greatest invention ever, right? Inventing the wheel. Awesome. But what we've had to do, because we have the wheel, we've had to invent and build all this massive infrastructure.
Yeah.
Roads, bridges, that kind of stuff, right? Because of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we had vehicles that could walk instead of rolling,
right,
that we wouldn't need all that, right? We could right. just, it's like just walk. You don't need a bridge. Yeah. Just walk down the ravine and walk back up the other side of the ravine. You don't need all these roads, right? You just kind of walk.
Right.
I thought, well, that's pretty smart for a science fiction author to like come up with that.
Well, I think H.G. Wells touched on that in War of the Worlds about how there were no wheel systems or whatever in the tripods. So, kind of like...
Well, that's a great point, because if you're going to invade another planet, your vehicle probably... It should do what every other, you know, cop-out, like, hack science fiction author does, which is it'll just float around. Or... Right. Be a little more realistic and say, let's not make, you know, obviously we have to deal with gravity, but let's make it so we can deal with whatever terrain they've got.
Right, right.
You know.
Except, let's not vaccinate our troops before we send them in.
Let's
make
do
sure
a
we got
lot.
The terrain covered, but
let's do a let's ton of reconnaissance over the course of centuries. But let's not come up with the idea that, oh, there might be diseases that... Let's not learn from any Earth history. Yeah, I know. Like, you could have done better. And then that occurred to me as well. Orson Welles, like we talked about this a few weeks ago, it's driving me crazy. H.G. Wells, Orson Welles, George Orwell. Right?
And what about Kitty Wells?
Orson Welles' first name is not Orson.
No. What is it?
George. George.
I did not know that.
Orson Welles. George Orwell. H.G. Wells. I think this has not been explored enough. Somebody needs to look into this.
This is where we disappear in a cloud of logic.
Oh, man. Papa Gods. So here's something no one ever asks of us. They never ask how they can help us. But I'm going to answer anyway. Nobody is...
The unanswered question.
The unasked question. Nobody...
Yes, the unasked question.
Nobody ever asks how they can help us. And I'm guessing nobody wonders that either. However, I'm still going to tell you guys to subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Stitcher. You can subscribe on our blogger thingy, Majiggy. You could even invite your friends, like Superfan James did, to our Facebook group. So there's lots of ways you can help, even though you didn't ask and probably weren't even wondering. Just head on over to don'tpanicradioshow.com.
You can also repost our posts. That would help. You know.
True.
Instead of reposting a picture of Jesus delivering a pizza to... repost our posts once, just get it out there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And we appreciate those of you who have been commenting on our stuff. Mike, Paul, James, Andy, Sue Ann.
You know, talk about it at work.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe no, that's a bridge too far. All right. Go check out our friend Andy at on all the stuff at A. William Wright. Go check out us at don'tpanicradioshow.com. And For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Nothing. You just heard.
Just true.
Racer, go to Speed Racer, go to Speed Racer, go.